questions.
Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Monday. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio program. Trust that you had a great, great week and that God is blessing you. Today, I want to say thank you to Merritt Assembly of God for the privilege of being the pastor there. That not everybody has always felt that way about Merritt Assembly of God. It's had a long history in Brevard County. It started in 1952. Found out, or what I found out was that that was the company that he used as well for portion. So give them a call, 321-536-5804. You can find that they will put their experience, their expertise, and their hard work ethic to work on your job, and it will turn out marvelous. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So last week we were talking about the things that Peter was commanded to speak were in Acts chapter 10. Today, I want to read verses 44 through 48. That's the end of the chapter. It says in verse number 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. When the word of God was preached in Acts chapter 2, it was because there were believers who experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the people that were in the marketplace did not understand what was going on. Being saved. There were multiple experiences throughout the book of Acts where people are filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand that the prerequisite to being baptized in the Holy Spirit is being a child of God whose sins have been forgiven. The Holy Spirit, one of the things that is necessary is for us to be forgiven of our sins. It doesn't happen the other way around. There are people who have become believers and were baptized, and that's fine. But the process will never get out of order where you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but not a believer. Okay? The word baptism was a word that was used not just in church circles, but it was used in the textile industry. It meant that you would take a piece of fabric and you would immerse it, you would dip it down, you would saturate it in such a way that the fabric would have a different appearance when it got through with the process. The same thing is true with us when we are baptized in Christ. We are supposed to come up as a new creation. We don't have the stains that we had before. They've been cleansed. They've been wiped away. You've been made pure to the uttermost. That's the baptism of repentance and the baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's that baptism that says, look, I am identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. But Jesus said, beyond that baptism, there is going to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, there's one who comes after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's a purification process. When heat begins to take place, it changes the atmosphere around. It begins to generate a air circulation that wasn't there when the heat wasn't there. And so there are many in the church who are very confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, I want to remind you that it's not just two who are part of the Godhead. It's three. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the things that Jesus said was that he would be the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. He's the one who would send the Holy Spirit. And this is specifically what he said, that him going to the Father so that God the Holy Spirit could come was expedient. It was essential. It was beneficial for the church. I want you to know that you and I are not in a natural conflict. We are in a supernatural conflict. We are in a spiritual battle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers. But we do so with the full armor of God, which includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You and I, we need to be people of prayer, but we also need to realize that part of that prayer comes when we are praying in the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people that, because of some of the things that they've experienced in the past, they want to shy away, and they say, I just don't want to have anything to do with that. It's too controversial for me. Several years ago, I am horrible with timelines. I'd have to look up and see when it was, but I was having some real difficulty sleeping at night because of some shoulder issues that I had. And so the doctor said, well, what we'll do is we'll send you to therapy and see if we can't get that worked out. And so after 30 days of excruciating therapy, they realized therapy's not going to solve that problem. That's going to require some surgery. So this was the very first shoulder surgery that I'd had since I since then had the other shoulder done. And so I did 30 days with this one physical therapist and got to know a little bit about them because I have the gift of gab and I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. And then after the surgery, I had to go in and do the physical therapy, and I had a frozen shoulder. And so I got to do 30 more days. And so from January to August, I was dealing with this individual. Environment. Not in this area, but she was raised in a Pentecostal environment. And so she and I had numerous conversations. Her husband and her blessed our church with some donations of sporting equipment that we could give out to the kids of our church. And so it was that type of relationship. We're there to work on the shoulder, but we're having conversations at the same time. At the end of 90 days, as we were coming up to, you know, that release from the need for physical therapy, and let me tell you, the primary purpose was physical therapy so that my shoulder would work. And that lady demonstrated that you don't have to be, you know, super strong to make a person really feel pain. She was not there to be mean. She was there to press me beyond where I was comfortable to the point that I could use my shoulder. And today it's absolutely wonderful. As we're coming to that discharge date, and she knows that I'm a pastor, she knows where I pastor and all that sort of stuff. She said this, these were her exact words. Are you sure you're Pentecostal? And I said, yes, I'm Pentecostal theologically, and I'm Pentecostal in practice as well. I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I said, why do you ask? And she said, because you seem so normal. Because you seem so normal. I'll never forget that. Because you seem so normal. And I realize that there have been some things that have taken place that might have put people off a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that God's will is not to do things that are embarrassing to people. God's will is not to cause people to be afraid of, you know, being humiliated by God, the Holy Spirit. God's will is that the word of God is preached in such a way that the Spirit of God can move sovereignly so that the kingdom of God can advance. And so Peter is preaching, and he gets to this place in verse number 44 that the Holy Spirit says, Peter, I'll take it from here. I'll take it from here. See, I've got a clock. I've got a timer that I'm watching right now. And that thing tells me at what point in time the radio broadcast is going to end. When I'm preaching at Merritt Assembly of God or wherever I may be preaching at a given point in time, I tell you when the preaching is done is when the Holy Spirit says, you're done. You've said what you were commanded to say, and I'll take it over from here. On Friday's broadcast, I talked about how important repentance was. So several years ago, I was really blessed. It's one of the highest honors of my life that I've ever received. And that was, I was asked by the family of the pastor that I was saved under, that I was trained by, that I served under. I was asked by his family to do his funeral. And during that funeral, I asked them, I said, do you want me to extend an invitation for people to give their heart to Jesus? And I know that Pastor Ellsworth was his name, that he said that he felt compelled one night during one of the worst blizzards that he had ever been in to continue to have the church open. And there was only one man that came to church that night that wasn't part of the church, but he gave his heart to Jesus. And he, after he retired from pastoring, he went on and served as a missionary and caused a church to grow from a few hundred to several thousand in an area that today is ministering in a place where the gospel is not an open place to minister at all. And so he had a heart for souls. And when I extended the invitation, I said this. I said, if I don't give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as we celebrate the life of this wonderful man of God, I said, he will come out of that casket, come up here and snatch this microphone out of my hand and say, I will take it from here, because he was all about souls. The Holy Spirit is all about pointing people to Jesus. Remember, we talked about the prophets, that they were pointing people to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit also points people to Jesus. Jesus brings people to the Father. And so as Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Who heard the word. So I'm going to say something today that may be a little bewildering to some who hear it. But I've heard this many times through the years, and people would say, oh, we just had such a wonderful experience at church on Sunday. The pastor didn't even preach. And I want you to understand, I fully believe in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I also believe that there is a divine order, and that part of that order is that the Word of God goes forth and creates an atmosphere in people's hearts and in their spirits so that the Spirit of God can do the work that he wants to do in them. The Spirit of God can take a cowering man like Gideon and turn him into a mighty man of valor. The Spirit of God can transform a life in a matter of seconds where you and I would labor for years and not experience anything like that. Well, I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit took control over that preaching and said, okay, Peter, you need to stop talking now. I'm going to start moving in this service like you don't expect, like they don't expect, then all of a sudden, Peter and them are getting ready to see that God's heart is not just for Gentiles to be saved, but to experience everything that they have experienced. And so it says here that those who heard the word and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Okay. So it wasn't just Peter who was amazed. You know, I had something that happened not too long ago, and it wasn't because of my emotions. It wasn't because of anything that I had going on inside of me at the time. It was purely God working in me in spite of my personal feelings at that time. Wasn't because I didn't like the person or anything. I was just wounded. I was in a place where I was wounded, but I want you to know that even when the messenger is wounded, the Holy Spirit is still the healer. And there was a miracle that took place, and I was astonished. And again, it wasn't anything because of any personal, I didn't even know the person. It was a situation I found myself in, and God created a divine appointment and said, Bob, I can do things through you beyond that will leave you astonished. And I was absolutely amazed. Peter and his entire traveling contingency, his entire crew, they were astonished. Can I ask you something? I wonder what would happen if we said, God, show yourself mighty. Don't allow our preconceived ideas to limit you. God, I pray that you not just operate out of the box. I pray that you destroy the box. It's kind of insulting to believe that we as finite human beings would try and dictate terms to God as to what he can and cannot do. We would be very upset with politicians who tried to dictate to God what he could and could not do in our society. I know that is. Why would we, the church, put restrictions on God and say, God, don't do anything here that's going to embarrass me? You know, one of the things that I've heard people say several times throughout my ministry was, I've invited some friends. I hope the Holy Spirit doesn't move today because I don't really want to be embarrassed. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, unbelievers are looking for the moving of the Holy Spirit so that they will say when they leave, truly the presence of God was in that place. I pray that God continues to do more things than we could ever conceive. The thing that I want to tell you is the word sets the stage. We can never get to that place where we say, ooh, the Spirit of God moved in such a way we don't even need the Word of God. Here's the thing. If you have the Word, but you do not have the Spirit, this is not a Bob Arthur's original thought. This is Bob Arthur's paraphrased version of someone else's thought, and I don't know who to attribute it to, so it was somebody other than me. If you have the Word, but you don't have the Spirit, you will fall into legalism. If you have the Spirit, but you don't have the Word, you will fall into fanaticism. But if you have the Word and the Spirit, you're going to have a move of God that impacts a city. That's what I want. And I will tell you that even though the believers that were there were astonished, God wasn't. God knew what he was going to do all along. And so it said they were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. One of the business cards that I had produced years ago had a little magnifying glass in it. My office manager cherishes her little magnifying glass. She carries it around because some of the numbers that she deals with are very small, and so she brings that out so that it magnifies it. You know what it doesn't do? It doesn't change the reality of the font. It enhances her ability to be able to perceive what is the reality. I pray that you and I live our life in such a way that people are enhanced in their ability to perceive Jesus moving not just in our life, but in their life. We're living in a society right now that is trying to isolate the church, isolate the people of God, say you can only function within these parameters, and I want you to know you cannot imprison light. We carry the light of God. And the darker society gets, the more that they shun God, the more your light is going to shine. And you need to be able to say, look at Jesus. He's bigger than you've ever dreamed of. He's capable of doing more in your life than you've ever. Listen, he's capable of doing more in my life than I've allowed him to. Let's take away the restrictions. I had a mini bike one time that had a governor that would not let you go above a certain speed. There was a reason why it was on there. That's a story for another day. Let's take the training wheels off and say, God, we want you to be magnified in Brevard County. You know what happens when people see Jesus? Two things. They're drawn to him and they become like him. And we want to magnify, Lord. Would you magnify him with me? We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to